Good morning, brethren. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 13. Verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Now, God's saints, born of God, given faith to see and behold and believe what Christ has done for us, we want to honor our Lord. We want to obey Him. We want to serve Him. We want to do what He commands us to do. And this is what He commands us. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So where does the believer look? From whom are we going to learn what it is to love one another? Where do we look? Our Lord is saying we look to Christ. We look to Christ. Our Redeemer said in verse 15, I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. We learn everything looking to Christ by His Spirit working in our hearts. He said there in verse 1, we saw this last time, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now, our Lord loved His own by taking the lowest place, by taking the lowest position, by coming down as low as one could possibly come to serve His people, to save His people. That's what He did. Verse 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, in those days, you know the custom. They would travel and they would walk and they had sandals, and their feet would become dirty, and so they would wash one another's feet. When you enter to a house before supper, they would wash your feet. And that was always for the lowest servant. The lowest servant washed the feet. That was a custom. I was trying to think of something we might relate this to in our culture. And I don't want to say anything that would shame anybody. I can't really think of an occupation but it's a low occupation. It would be a low place of service. And that's what our Lord did. He took that place there that night and bowed down and took his outer garment off and put water in a basin and got down at their feet to wash their feet. He knew himself to be God Almighty. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God and went to God. You think, you know, when men get to be in very powerful positions, they start treating people lower than them as insignificant. You know, men get lifted up in pride and they treat people that they believe are beneath them. They don't treat them very well. This is God. This is Almighty God. All things are in his hands. He came from God. He's going back to God. This is God Almighty. And he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself and bowed down to their feet to wash them. And he's showing here what he did when he came from glory to save his people. Go back over there to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. This is what he's showing us right here. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind, Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is what the Lord did to save his people. And it says back in John 13, he poured water into a basin, into a laver. Christ is the laver. He's that laver pictured in the old covenant. And the righteous, sinless God-man, he poured out his blood. He poured out his blood. He not only came down and took the form of a servant, worked out a righteousness for his people, obedient to the law, proving himself fit to go to the cross. He went to the cross and poured out his blood. That's loving somebody. That's perfect love. He poured out his blood. Life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's the only way our sin, we had to die. And that's the only way God would be satisfied. And Christ poured out his blood. He poured it out unto death. Revelation 1:5 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And that water, when that soldier pierced his side and blood and water came out, the blood declares we're justified by God. The water shows he's our sanctifier and our sanctification. It's by him washing us in regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, washing us by the water of the Word that we're sanctified and made holy. And he's that fountain that washes. Zechariah 13:1 said, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And he is that fountain open. Sinner, he's the fountain open. Nothing's barring anybody from coming to him and believing on him and washing in his blood and being cleansed by the Lord Jesus. Come and believe on him. That fountain's open. And that's so for me and you, believer, that fountain's open. Verse 5, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. How did the Lord wash us? How did he really put away our sin? Our Lord takes this towel that was girded about him. He takes this towel, and with this towel, he takes all of the dirt, all of it off of their feet, and it comes onto the towel. That's what our Lord did when he went to the cross. He took all the sin of all his people and bore it in his own body on the tree and answered to the justice of God for us. That's how he washed us. That's how he washed us. And he robes us in his righteousness. There was a, you know, not only did he take the dust from their feet and the dirt from their feet, when he got finished doing it, their feet were clean. He took all the sin of his people and gave us his righteousness, his perfection, his cleansing, so that you're washed. And now from his throne in glory, he's teaching us who he is and what he has done for us and what he's continuing to do for us. That's what he's teaching us. Drop down to verse 12. After he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? After Christ finished the work of redemption, and he accomplished the work of redeeming his people from all our transgressions, fulfilling the law on behalf of his people, putting away our sin, and when he had finished the work, went into the grave, suffered the death we died, passed through death, he arose to the right hand of the Father, and he sat down. Just like he did there that night, he arose and he sat down. Why? Scripture says, when he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And right now, he's the one sending forth the gospel. When he sent them forth into the world on the Great Commission, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Go preach him. Preach his person. Preach his works. Declare what he's accomplished. And this is what he said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And he made this promise. Lo, I am with you always. There's no way the word would ever come in power. There's no way that anybody would ever be washed, spiritually washed, and made to behold Christ and believe on him if it wasn't for Christ sending the word forth and preaching and teaching his people in our heart. And that's what he's doing right now from glory. Do you believe that? You believe Christ is walking amongst the candlesticks, that he's dwelling amongst his churches, walking and preaching and teaching and guiding his people through the word of the gospel? He is. He certainly is. Now, we see why we need him to teach us. We see why we need him to teach us. When he came there, and he takes off that outer garment, he poured that water in the basin, and he bows down, and Peter saw what he was about to do. Here's why we need the Lord to teach us. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? I would think Peter put the emphasis on thou. Dost thou wash my feet? You're the holy, sinless Son of God. You going to wash this sinner's feet? Now, we understand why Peter protested. This was his Lord. This was his Master. And Peter saw this, him washing his feet. That was the task of the lowliest servant there was. And Peter thought, this is beneath my Lord to bow down and do this. But the devil wanted Peter to resist him. Our sin nature is nothing but pride. And that's really what this was pride. And it doesn't take the devil to provoke us very much to puff us up in pride. And that's really what this was. But the Lord is so long-suffering with his people. Verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter, he knew what he was doing. He knew he was fixing to wash his feet, but he didn't know the meaning. He didn't understand spiritually what the Lord was doing. And we ought to keep this word right here, always in our remembrance. If you had to type it out, put it on the refrigerator, or put it in your vehicle or whatever, we ought to keep this word always in remembrance, because this is the case with us almost 100% of the time. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now that's just the case in about everything we do. Our Lord sends you a trial. He sends you sorrow. And very often we're like Peter. We start objecting and we start, you know, have our false humility. And when it's all just pride, really. And our Lord's just long-suffering. And He says to us, what I do now, you know not, but you shall know hereafter. Our Lord never tries to teach His people. He's sovereign God. He's omnipotent God. He spoke the heavens and earth into existence. He don't try to do anything. He teaches His people. But He's very long-suffering with us. And He lets us question and fret and what have you to show us what we are and what we would continue in were it not for Him. But like Peter, we're slow to hear, we're slow to learn, and we need Christ to teach us. We need Him, and He's gracious to teach us over and over and over. Verse 8, Peter said to Him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Our Lord's not only teaching us humility and love, He's teaching us the necessity of Christ washing us, the necessity of it. Christ must wash us, and Christ alone. He must receive all the glory for washing us. He's the only one that can wash us. He said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter, if I had not washed thee with the washing of regeneration by the Spirit of God, you would have no part with me. That's what the Lord's telling him. If I don't wash you from all your sins, you have no part with me. What part of all is He leaving? This includes everything. If I don't wash you from all your sin, you have no part with me, no communion with me in this world, and no inheritance with Him in the world to come. No part with it. God's elect have a part with Christ through God's electing covenant grace, because God in grace chose us freely. And we have a part with Christ because Christ came and washed us thoroughly from our sin. And we have a part with Him because the Spirit of God washes us and makes us whole. And only Christ can wash a sinner clean. Our works can't wash us. Baptism won't wash us. No kind of religious deed will wash us. We cannot wash ourselves. It's impossible for you and I to wash ourselves and for Christ to get the glory for doing the washing. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. But he that Christ washes, he's clean. Whoever Christ washes is clean. Look here in verse 9. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean. The Lord Jesus has washed His people every whit. That means completely, totally. He's finished the work on the cross. Not all are His. Judas was not His. And He wasn't washing Judas. He didn't wash him at the cross. But when He creates, but He did all His people. All His people He washed at the cross. He justified us freely by His blood, and He accomplished it every whit. So that before God, you have died Believer, you've died. Justice has been poured out on you in full. How fully? An eternity of hell has been poured out on you already in Christ on the cross. There can't one more thing be poured out on God's people. Every whit you claim. And by the Spirit of God creating a new man within us, there is a new man created in the child of God that's born of the incorruptible seed that is incorruptible. That means he's created in the righteousness of Christ through the blood and righteousness of Christ. He's created in the true holiness of the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. That new man is holy and without sin. Every whit clean. Because it's the creation of God. And here's what our Lord said, and this truly is our Lord's word in Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He's been made new. He is complete in Christ. And this is what this new birth, this sanctification of the Spirit teaches us. Christ has washed us every whit. He's made you whole. You are complete in him. In him. And he's abiding in his people, and he will not let us be severed from him. But walking through this world, because we have a sin nature, and because we live in a sinful world, walking through this world, we become defiled. We become dirty. So Christ continues to wash us, to wash us, to wash our feet. He cleanses us within to keep us coming to him. He continually purges your conscience. He brings you to yourself. He makes you see when you sin and when what your need of him. And he draws you to him. He pulls you to him. He brings you to him. And he's doing it to cause you to confess your sin to him and your need for him to wash you. The Lord taught us to pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He taught us to pray, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. David was righteous. He was holy. He was washed every whit by our Lord. And I know that sometimes people can't understand that. How was he washed? Christ hadn't been to the cross yet. Because Christ was his surety. Christ entered covenant to do it for David before the world was made. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. David was washed every whit by Christ through the forbearance of God. But David sinned. David sinned. And our Lord washed David. He made him see he sinned and made him see he needed the Lord to wash him. And the Lord drew him to him. And the Lord brought him to cry out for the Lord to wash him. And that's what the Lord did. He cried out in Psalm 51:1 and said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. He prayed in Psalm 25:11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sin. And our Lord does this to keep us knowing, as long as we're going through this world, our Lord's teaching us from heaven, just like he was teaching them that night, and he's teaching us our constant need of our advocate. And he's teaching us he is our advocate, our only advocate, our only high priest, our only righteousness. And he's continually teaching us this by making us continually see our need, and he's continually drawing us to him to confess what we are to him. and to show us that because of Christ, for His name's sake, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is what He's going to keep teaching His people all the way to the end. Now, by all this, Christ is also teaching us to love one another as He loves us. Verse 13, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." They never called Him Jesus. You call your mom and dad by their first name? They called Him Lord. They called Him Master. He said, "If I then, your Lord and your Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." None of us is greater than our Lord, our Master. And He said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet." Now, He's not saying here for us to literally wash one another's feet. This wasn't an ordinance. We have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table. He's saying, if I've forgiven you and washed you of your sin, you ought to love one another the same way as I've loved you. He came down from His throne in glory. He humbled Himself and He served us to put away our sin. When did He do that for you? When did the God of glory, who is so immaculately holy that you can't even conceive it, when did He come down and do this for you? When you were an ungodly enemy, just full of nothing but hate. And He says, "Now you love your brother as I've loved you." So you can't make your brother love you. If they're full of hate to you, you can't change it. But you can still love them. And don't stop loving them. They may turn their back and bar you and whatever to you. Just keep loving them. Keep loving them. He came down from His throne in glory. He humbled Himself and He served us. And He's teaching us to humble ourselves and serve one another. And then remember this. We saw this last time. He knew that it was His hour. And having all the pain of what He was facing, all the shame of what He faced, all the tremendous burden of what He faced. When we have something tremendously burdensome to us that's on the horizon that we're going to have to face and we know we're going to face it, we get self-absorbed and we can't think about anything but the trouble. But He didn't let that stop Him from loving His brethren. And that's what He's teaching us. With the trials and the burdens before us, or even if they're upon us, let nothing stop us from loving one another, ministering the gospel to one another. He loved us when we were His enemies, and He loved us to the end. Despite their failures, despite the fact that right there in that room that night, He knew their sins right then. Peter's protesting that he can't wash him. This is sinful. And He loved him, and He washed him. Knowing what they're going to do in the days ahead, He loved them to the end. And that's what He's teaching us. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. We fail a great deal by thinking we have splendidly never failed. And that's a great failure. Love one another when they fail that way. And when you fall and fumble and sin and disappoint your brethren, love one another anyway. Christ has fulfilled the righteous requirements of God's holy law for His people, for each of our brethren. He's justified us before God. He's regenerated us. He's made us every whit clean. And God remembers our sins no more. That's how He loves us. And He teaches us to receive one another without doubting and without disputing. Because we only have one master. And our brethren's master is not us. Our brethren's master is the Lord. So we trust one another to Him. We go to Him and ask our master to help one another. And we trust one another to Him. Our brethren are His own. He said, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Your brother and sister is His own. So when you love them, you're loving Christ's own. And He continues to wash us. He continues to wash us. He continues to cover our sin. He continues to remember our sin no more. He told us to ask the Lord to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But He also said if we won't forgive, we won't be forgiven. If we won't have mercy, we won't receive any. And you can see who needs mercy most. They'll be most merciful. Because they know they need it. They know they need it. You know, there's something about needing God's mercy. It doesn't harden you. It makes you compassionate. When you fall, whatever it is you've fallen, however, and God shows you mercy, it makes you have compassion for people like that. They fall into that. You don't look down your nose at them and say, oh, I can't believe. Look at that bunch of people, what they're doing. You have compassion on them. Because you know that's you. That really is you. And you know how easily that was you. And you know how easily that could be you again. And so you cover one another's sins. You point one another to Christ, your righteousness. And you forgive one another even as He forgives us. And this right here is important. This is important. This might be the most important part of it. When our Lord was serving Peter to teach him all this, to show him this, Peter objected. He didn't want the Lord to do that. He didn't want the Lord to wash his feet. Felt like that was beneath the Lord. Whenever brethren are trying to serve us and love us, don't object. Don't object. Don't reject it. It's easy to do. Somebody wants to pay your way. We just, well, now I'm going to have, no, I'm going to pay. You know what most of that is? Pride. It's pride. Or whatever it is our brethren are doing for us, we don't like to admit we have needs. And we need to have our need met. It takes just as much grace to be loved and received somebody serving you as it does to love and serve another. So don't object to it. Don't steal that blessing from them of being able to serve you because the Lord's given them a heart to want to serve you. That's a hard lesson to learn, but it's so. It is so. And our Lord tells us this right here. Believe in Him, loving Him, and loving our brethren, and obedience to Him. This is true happiness. This is true happiness. He said, verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody talks about, I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. Well, if you want to be happy, our Lord's telling us how to be happy. Believe Him and love and serve one another. Happy are you still. Now that doesn't mean everything's going to be all rosy. That doesn't mean everybody's going to And that doesn't mean there's not going to be somebody saying, you can't wash my feet. But see, your happiness is from believing the Lord and doing what He tells you to do. Whether somebody else receives it or does it or thinks you don't do it or whatever, that's not where you derive your happiness from. It's from Him. And it's between His child and Him. And that's where you'll have your happiness from, knowing you're doing what He commanded you to do. And that'll be your happiness. All right, brethren, let's go to Him. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this gospel. Thank You for setting this example for us and saving us, washing us every whit as You've done so. And Lord, we thank You that You continue to wash us. Thank You, Lord, for showing us our sins. Thank You for showing us our need continually, keeping us coming to You, looking only to You. Lord, help us to love one another. Make us behold You and how You laid down Your life in such a way that it makes us fall in love with You and with our brethren, makes us selflessly want to serve one another. And Lord, make us give You the glory, make us praise You, because You do, You get all the glory. Forgive us, Lord, our sins. We ask You for Christ's sake, You forgive us. And Lord, work grace in our hearts to help us forgive one another. How thankful we are, Lord. You've provided all in Christ and You continue to do so. We ask it all in His name. Amen.